for a little while, but then the deterioration is going to continue. Might be slowed up a bit, but it's going to continue. But God said it'll take it all, totally take it away. And these are simple things that we can do. You know, God says he works in us, he works for us, and he works through us. How many are going to believe what God says? You know, we have a wealth of supernatural power, you know, and weapons. But we don't know how to use them, you know. We talk about how God expect us, and he planned for us, his church, to get up, stop laying around, you know, stop lying, you know, stop letting the devil run all over us. Live holy and acceptable unto God, and you know, blameless. And we need to bless the name of the Lord. To bless the name of the Lord at all times. And we should give thanks to God at all times. And saints of God, we know this is how we should live this life. You know, our job is to move upward in the spirit. That's the purpose of God. You know, we can't move unless we get up in the physical and mental works of God. We can't move in him. We got the physical works we got to do. Laying on of hands. Casting out demons and devils. You know, going in the highways and the byways and the hedges. Preaching the word of God. This is physical work. The mental work is keep our mind saturated with the word of God. Don't let the word of God leave our mind. Just keep thinking about him day and night, day and night. That's what Joshua said. Then you will have good success. Keep the word of God running 24/7 in your mind. You know, even when you're working. There are a few things you can say even when you're on your job. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I bless your name. Oh, hallelujah to Jesus. Bless your name, Father. Glory to God. Lord, touch somebody today. You have time to say that. Even though you might be teaching a class with a bunch of wonderful kids, you still could say, bless the name of the Lord. Oh, God, help us today. Don't you know it'll help your class and it'll help you too. You know, we're in a fight, saints. And we're in a fight, and we're going to have to fight the good fight of faith. We can't look. We can't look around. We can't watch around. We can't just move around like we want to and don't put the word of God there. The Bible says we have to fight the good fight of faith. And fight means we're in a battle. You know, we're in a combat zone. You know, we're engaged in battle. You know, we're to war against, to fight it out until a decision is reached and rendered. You know, we are to manage and maneuver through the lies and the deceit and the alluring nature of the devil. His control, he hinders us, he captures us, he destroys us, and he tries to kill us. We have to maneuver through this battle, and we're going to have to fight by faith. This battle is not a natural battle. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against the enemy. And the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So, saints of God, let's get on the job and let's engage in battle. Let's go out and look for the devil and put him to run. We don't want him making us run. We want to make him run. So we're going to continue the next couple of weeks on these spiritual weapons and the spiritual authority that we have in Jesus Christ. And until then, God bless.
All right, family. You have been listening to the Spiritual Warfare broadcast with Evangelist Wanda Bell. You can connect with us on Facebook at Evangelist Wanda Bell. Or you can write us at Evangelist Wanda Bell or Spiritual Warfare Ministries at P.O. Box 5884, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71307. Tune in. in every Tuesday and Thursday, same time, here on KAYT 88.1, as we go deeper in the Word of God.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Bless you. Turn your Bibles, if you will, to the Gospel of John, chapter 14, and I want to look at verse 12 and a few of the following. St. John, chapter 14, I want to look at verse 12 and a few of the following. And it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. For he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day, ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated in God's presence. What a powerful word we have before us that helps us to understand the transferal of the power of the Lord Jesus Christ into the lives of the believers, not into the lives of churchgoers, church members, officers of churches or ministerial staffs or people who have noted positions, but to the believer. And one of the things that I want us to understand is this power that is transferred into the life of the believer is so important to understand, because Jesus Christ himself declares that greater works than these shall we do, because he goes back to the Father. Now, when we look at our lives, my brothers and sisters, honestly, many of us do not see ourselves in the same way that the Lord sees us as his children. Many of us don't believe that we can do some of the very same things that Jesus did, or similar to what Jesus did. One of the reasons is because of our unbelief. One of the reasons is because in our own ability to syllogistically deduce from cause to effect the realities of what Jesus did versus what we can do is the fact that we are trying to do it with our own power. We're trying to do it with our own ability. And one of the things that you're going to note if you look at the life of Jesus is Jesus did it under the authority and with the power of the Holy Ghost. When you look and see that he was baptized, the Bible said he was filled with the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost descended like a dove upon him. He was given a measureless amount of the Holy Ghost's power to walk in the earth realm, to create, to effect, to do, to undo, to do whatever God desired him to do. Everything he did to please his Father. One of the reasons why we can't do some of the miracles that Jesus did is because we're trying to please others, or we're trying to please ourselves. He was a miracle worker, the brother saying, but his miracles were not for himself. His miracles were for others so that God could receive the glory. Every miracle had a message. And the message was, he was the Son of God sent to the lost house of Israel to redeem the people of God and then to show that he was the Christ. And so when we recognize that he was sent to redeem mankind back to the Father, that he was also to make clear that he was the only hope of mankind, not only of Israel, but to whosoever will, everything that he did was designed to bring his Father glory. Yeah. See, that's why some things don't work for us, because God wouldn't get the glory. We would, or others would, but God would not. That's why the Bible says, let your light so shine that men may see your what? Your what? That's why we do so many things in the dark. Slipping in the darkness. Because they're not good works, and we don't want them seen, because God wouldn't get no glory. Am I talking to anybody in the house? And so when we recognize if it's worth doing and worth doing right, then you don't care who sees you do it, because it's all for the glory of God. We have an evangelistic team, and they're out on the corner right over here on Lobdell in Florida every Saturday, 12 o'clock. Prayer station out there, lifting up the name of Jesus, letting folk know that they are there to pray with them, pray for them. Our job is to stand in the gap for this world, to pray for them, to believe the Lord Jesus Christ will touch people's hearts and will cause them to know him for themselves in a personal way. It's not for their glory. It's not for the name of greater King David or John Montgomery. It's for the glory of God. Listen, and if just one person stops and recognize, because I can tell you, they will not be drawn except by the Spirit of the living God. And so God will do some things because he is getting the glory and not man himself. Now listen at this. When you learn how to operate in these principles I'm going to share with you, you're going to learn how God will transfer things into your life so that you may be a greater blessing. But listen to this. You will be greatly blessed also. See, when you're greatly blessed, you don't mind being a greater blessing. You see, when God blesses you on a greater level, you seek to be a greater blessing on a greater level. Because what you discover in the principle is this. If he gives you more, it is so you can do more with what he gives you. And when we learn how to, he says, freely you have received, so freely give. When the anointing comes upon you to do the work of God, it is not so that you can get money, you can be a person of fame, so that people will know your name, so that people will recognize you as this or that or the other. It is so that God may get the glory, and those that he allows and sends you to will receive the good, but he will never leave you out of the process. Let's go back to the text that I want you to see something. Verily, verily, or truly, truly, who's speaking right now? Jesus. Red letter edition will show you it's Jesus. I say unto you, he that believeth, believe it means to continually have faith in me. The works that I do shall he do also. The works that I do. Here's a question. What are the works? recorded in the word of the Lord that Jesus did. Let me make this an interactive sermon today. That means I want you to tell me some of the miracles that he did. Just raise your hand and just tell me one of the miracles he did. We're going to take you by hand because, you know, everybody like to act like they know and they don't know. All right. Raise the dead. This is one of the works that he did. Somebody else. Heal the blind. Right here. Turn water to wine. What's another miracle? Anybody? Let me see another hand. Right here. Made the lame to walk. Anybody else? Over here, brother. Multiplied fish. Amen. Anybody else? Right here. Made the dumb. And you keep on going. Now, why did I give this illustration and ask you to be interactive with me? Because of this point. Jesus did it. You can do it. Let's go back to the word. I want you to see what the word says. Jesus is speaking in verse 12. He says, verily, verily, I, don't get it twisted, I'm talking, say unto you, I'm talking to you, boo, personal. Tell somebody he's talking to me. Let's make it personal now. To you, he that believeth. Now ask the question, is he talking to me? Because he said, he that believeth, that means continually have faith in me. Listen, the works that I do shall he do also. Not works similar to these. The works I do. But now, here is the qualifier. Believeth on me. You can do what I do when your level of faith reaches my level of faith in operation in the planet Earth. See, in other words, there are some things that you can do that Jesus did right now, but it depends on where your level of faith is. Now, you can't do all of the works that he's done at this point because your faith level is not where his is right now. So we have to be real about this. Wherever our faith level is, whatever was required to produce that miracle, to produce that work. Now, here's again what you need to understand. All of the works he did were not miracles. Oh, wait a minute. All the works he did were not miracles. See, what you got to realize, there are some things that Jesus did in the earth realm that were recorded, that were called works. And everything he did in ministering the gospel, in praying for those who were with him and those who were without or against him, enemies, etc., all of those things were works. Everything that he did, everything that he himself demonstrated in the earth realm, he says you can duplicate. So we get hooked up on doing just the miracles. But he didn't just limit his works to miracles. But whatever he did, all you do is walk through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and see the recorded works and know that if your faith is at that level, you can do them also. As you believe it, that means it's a continual operation and exercising a developing of your faith. Then the more developed your faith is, the higher level of works you can do. In other words, your faith in military terms gives you a higher clearance. Y'all didn't get that. Well, in other words, there's some you won't be able to raise the dead until you can at least heal the sick. That's a higher level of clearance. That you got to operate in feeding the hungry right now. You got to operate in clothing the naked right now. You got to operate where you are. Exercise your faith. And as you get stronger, you'll see you'll be able to do more and more like Jesus did until you get top clearance. I'm working on top clearance. But I got to start where I am. And if I'm at entry level, then praise be God, I'm going to do some work on the entry level. That's what you got to be able to do. Believeth. A continual practicing of your faith, operating in your faith. Look again at what this word says, because I want you to see. The works that I do shall she do also. And greater works than these shall he do. Because he goes to the Father. Now that blew me away when I read that. That greater works than these shall he, she, you, me, do because he goes back to the Father. We ain't even doing this. And Jesus says, greater works than these shall ye do. Well, first of all, we need to recognize that Jesus had two natural limitations. First was territory, second was time. He was sent to the lost house of Israel. He had to function in a 200-mile area. It was the Jewish territories. He was called to save his people. He was sent back to the Jews first. He then declared he came to his own. Why? Because he was sent to the lost house of Israel. And his own what? Received him not. That then gave him the liberty to open up that was given to his own to whosoever will. So he was limited first to territory. So within a 200-mile range of Jesus' ministry, everything he did was in Jewish territory. So that meant, you've got to understand, when the Syrophoenician woman came to Jesus and wanted her daughter delivered, and she wanted this blessing that was meant for the Jews, Jesus said, it's not meat, it's not fit that I take the bread that's meant for the children and give it to dogs. Well, what he was literally saying was, she was not a child of Abraham. She was not a Jew. He was sent to the Jews first. And because she was not a Jew, it wasn't right for him to give the Jewish blessings to non-Jews. She said, oh yeah, you're right, Lord, but even the dogs eat from the crumbs that fall from the table. I ain't asking you to give me the whole blessing. I'm just asking for a healing. From some of the stuff the Jews don't even want. They don't even believe you a healer. I believe you a healer. Just give me the crumbs. Wasn't asking for salvation at this point, just the crumbs. And so it's clear from Scripture that Jesus was limited to the territory of the Jews. But not only was he limited by territory, but he was limited by time. He only lived 33 and a half years, only did ministry for 3.5 years. In that time that the Gospels record, it was limited to a 3.5 year window. And so as a result of that, because Jesus was limited to the flesh, although he could do supernatural things that suspended the law of gravity, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, he was still bound to operate by the flesh, which meant he couldn't in the flesh be everywhere at every time. And then he had a limited time to do his operation, to do his master's will, to do his mission, to do what he had been sent to do. And so territory and time prevented him from doing all that he wanted to do. But he said, greater works than these. He was not talking about qualitative works. He was talking about quantitative works. I told you territory and time prevented him from doing everything he wanted to do it, where he wanted to do it, and for as long as he wanted to do it. And so because he goes back to the Father, listen at this, he is now freed from the flesh. And because he's freed from the flesh, he kept throwing back the spotlight on his Father. That had to do with relationship. He was in heaven, his Father, and Jesus was on earth. Now Jesus throws the spotlight in verse 20 on us. The Father in him, he in us, and we in him now presents a trifold relationship. Now he's back to the Father in unlimited power and potential, and yet he deals with us and dwells with us. How? Through his word. But now the present active ministry of the Holy Ghost is the same power that was in him that was here on planet Earth doing everything he did in Jesus. Now he's doing it in us. And he's not just doing it in Jerusalem. He's not just doing it in the 200-mile territories of his own limitations. He's not just doing it up to the age of 33 and a half years of age. He's doing it through folk everywhere of all ages and times, and the very works that they are doing are not greater in terms of quality, but in terms of quantity. He's not limited to just a geographical locale or a limited time only. Now he's able to do it through you, through me, through people across the country, people across the state, people across the world, people wherever the word of God is, and those who are in relationship with him. Listen to this. He's in them everywhere. He's in us everywhere. And yet he's with the Father, and the power that was in him now rests on us. So greater works now can we do because he goes back to the Father. He is free now to operate in all of us. That's why he says, whatever you bind on earth. Now, just think about if the believers just got together and did some serious binding of spirits and evils and wicked folk and wicked things and things that were not like God. What if the believers really start using their binding ability? See some stuff, nobody but you see it, but you are the only one that the Lord needs to bind that mess. You can bind it in Jesus' name. And he says, whatever you bind on earth, the qualifier is, one, you got to speak it, but two, you got to be here on earth. I know you're here on earth. The question is, are you speaking it? And when you bind it on earth, you ain't got to try to get to heaven. He's already there. He says, I'll lock that thing up in heaven here. Because what you don't understand is, in order for them to do it down there, they got to do it up here. And when you say, do it down here, I'll do it up there. And if they're doing the wrong thing, I'll stop it up here, which means it'll stop down there. That's why when he gave us the mount of prayer, give us this day our daily bread, it was so that we know we'd have all the power, the strength to do everything that we're supposed to. But not only that, he says he need us to make sure when we pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So if it don't look like that going on in heaven, it ought not be going on here on earth. I bind it in Jesus' name, because that mess ain't going on up in heaven. It ain't gonna be going on right here now. As it is in heaven, so shall it be here on earth. And so when you notice again, hallowed be thy name. The name is involved in this process, and the name declares that we have relationship, and if we have relationship, we have rights, and if we have rights, then we have the ability to operate in those rights. But we're not operating in them. And so sometimes you've got to understand that God puts you in a place and has empowered you in that place to do. And here's what I need you to know. If you need more help, he'll send it. And so sometimes if you don't have no help to do what he needs you to do, then that's a helpful holy hint that you don't need it. Y'all didn't catch that, I... Some of us are just scared to operate in the authority. Jesus said, greater works shall you do. Now, I want you to see this again. Greater works shall, and I want you to say your name the next time I say greater works shall. Greater works shall do. Greater works shall you do. He didn't say greater works shall y'all do. It's so personal that you got to see that the mission depends on you. And he just happens to know that if you need some help, wherever two or three. This wasn't a worship service, wherever two or three. Because when you get together and you talk about Jesus, you can't help but turn it into a praise service. Wherever two or three. If we touch and agree on the same thing. I've been binding this spirit of this. I've been binding this attack against this. I've been binding this, whatever it is. Me too, man. Well, look, let's touch and agree on this. Now, if one could put 1,000 to flight and two, 10,000, do you know what three? The exponential growth just goes so far when you touch agree, because here's where the power comes at. There will I be in the midst. And all you're doing is surrounding yourself with the power that's going to get this thing done in agreement with one accord. And so here's what you need to know. Jesus did the miracles and the works that